Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The United States is very directly involved. I'm talking about the conflict at the heart of the Middle East and its struggles, the conflict between Israel and her Arab neighbors. Usually on this show, we focus on issues directly involving America. Of course, this involves America. We'll talk about how and why as part of this very special show, a show trying to cut through all of the confusion, all of the controversy, all of the conflict involving this conflict, as we take a look at why they fight, the story of the Arab-Israeli struggle. And of course, when you start trying to tell that story, you go very far back in time indeed. The Jewish relationship to the spot of land, and it really isn't very much land at all, the little spot of land that today is known as Israel, goes back to the forefather Abraham, who first came to that land, historians say, about 2000 BC, in other words, 4000 years ago. But Abraham didn't stay. I mean, he stayed, he wandered back and forth, he was a nomad. Eventually, his grandchildren and great-grandchildren went to Egypt. And what that meant was that a permanent Jewish presence in what is today Israel began when Moses led the Jews out of Egyptian slavery and Joshua conquered the Canaanites. It's all described in the Bible. Historians suggest that that happened about 1200 BC. In other words, 3,200 years ago. But wait a minute, that's a very long history. The Palestinians, on their side, claim that they are descended from the Canaanites who Joshua displaced. And indeed, one of their early capitals of the Palestine Authority was in Jericho, one of those cities that Joshua conquered when he came into the land. The claims on this piece of real estate are extraordinary and they're ancient. And one of the things that is rather surprising about it is you'd think, given the level of intensity with which people have claimed this bit of land over the ages, over the millennia, that it was some kind of amazing garden spot. But those of you who have been to Israel, who have toured the Holy Land, understand that it isn't just physical beauty. It isn't productivity. It isn't any sort of blessed nature of water supply or greenery or anything like that that makes this land so special. It's the history associated with it. And after Joshua came in to the land and a Jewish commonwealth was established there, they usually date the establishment of the monarchy, the kings of Israel, in the 11th century B.C., under King Saul, and then later King David and King Solomon, the construction of the temple in Jerusalem. All of this is occurring close to 1,000 years before Christ. And during a very, very long period of time, there clearly was, and there is no historical doubt about this at all. I mean, the archaeological evidence is there, the historical evidence is there, not only in the Bible, but as repeated by Greek and Roman historians and many others, that there was a flourishing Jewish commonwealth called Israel, called Judea. There were two kingdoms that split. And yes, the Jews were exiled originally in 586 BC when Jerusalem was conquered by the Babylonians. They came back less than 50 years later, rebuilt the temple 70 years later. and then continued to live on that spot of land for another more than 400 years until the Romans destroyed the Second Temple in 70 AD. And now you're talking about all kinds of very well-recorded history. The destruction of that Second Temple was only one generation after the crucifixion of Jesus. And this is very well recorded. There are Roman statues about it. There's a famous Arch of Titus in Rome that shows the Roman troops taking home the artifacts from the temple. Even after the destruction of the Second Temple and the exile of the Jews, and this unimaginable disaster where most historians suggest that up to 1 million people, men, women, and children, were slaughtered, and the remaining population of the land, perhaps another 1 million, maybe even as many as 2 million, most of them were sold off into slavery and sent into exile. Because the Romans, having dealt with a horrible and very stubborn Jewish rebellion against Roman rule, didn't want to deal with that anymore. And they actually wanted to wipe out the Jewish identity of this land. Remember, Jews had lived here, had had a commonwealth here for more than 1,000 years. The Romans wanted to extinguish that. And so they changed the name of the Roman province. They changed the name from Judea, to Philistia, Palestine. Naming it after Palestina, it became in the Roman jargon. They named it after the Philistines, who had been the arch enemies of the Jewish people, of the Hebrew people. There weren't many Philistines left at the time, but it was a gesture that the Romans took very seriously, just like they took very seriously knocking down every scrap of the Holy Temple on the Temple Mount, and they actually sewed over the Temple Mount in salt so it would be desolate and nothing would grow there. Yet there remained in Israel a Jewish community forever. Despite the fact that people were exiled, despite the fact that they had undergone this tremendous disaster, which is observed to this day by Jews around the world with an annual fast day, the ninth day of the month of Av, which is the day that both of the great temples were destroyed. Despite all of that, there was a continual Jewish presence in the land of Israel. In fact, even after the destruction of the Second Temple, people kept streaming back and coming back and resettling. Large communities were reestablished in Jerusalem and in Tiberia and Tiberias by the 800s. And in the 11th century, in the 1000s, Jewish communities grew in Rafa, Gaza, Ashkelon, Jaffa, and Caesarea. So the idea that somehow the Jews had disappeared from their land, simply not true. Because even in the Middle Ages, when the population of the territory was overwhelmingly Arab, there was a very real Jewish presence. But what about the bulk of the population? Well, what had happened is under Roman rule, the population had been devastated. And when Rome became Christian, the official, and Rome also split into the Byzantine Empire, into the Eastern Empire and the Western Empire. Well, Israel was under the eastern part of the Roman Empire, and that Roman province, Palestine, was Christian. They're not heavily Christian, because there were people who practiced all sorts of different local religions, and there was also a Jewish presence remaining there. But it was Christian until the 600s. And in the 600s, briefly, Persia came in, conquered the land from the Byzantines, from the Eastern Roman Empire. And then about 20 years later, and that's all, after the Persians conquered it, the followers of Muhammad, the early Muslims, came in and conquered what was then the Roman, Eastern Roman province of Palestine, and made it Muslim. Now, one thing that's very important to understand is Muhammad never set foot in his life on anywhere on the territory of Israel. The whole association of Muhammad with Israel is he had a dream which is recorded in the Holy Quran. And the dream says he went to a distant province. And from that distant province, he departed to heaven in his dream. And they have identified by tradition, though it's not specified in the Quran, that that distant province was Jerusalem, and that that was the site of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the site of the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. But the name Jerusalem is never mentioned in the Holy Quran. But nevertheless...
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. For a limited time, you can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for the lowest price ever. Regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill so you have the exact support you need regardless of your sleep position. It comes with a 10-year warranty, it's washable and dryable so it stays healthy, and it's 100% made in the USA. I'm also going to give you deep discounts on all my MyPillow products, including my Giza Dream bed sheets, my mattress toppers, bath towels, and so much more. That's $29.98 for a queen-size premium MyPillow, the lowest price ever, and deep discounts on all my MyPillow products.
Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials. To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/MedVet, you can get a free mini book, free, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/MedVet. That's discovery.org/MedVet.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
This very special broadcast, trying to do the almost impossible, which is to make some sense and give you some clarity concerning the story of the Arab-Israeli conflict, why they fight. We were talking right before the break about the Muslim takeover of Jerusalem, which was on 637 A.D. It was just 5 years after the great prophet Muhammad died. And at this moment, you have to understand the tremendous explosion of energy and creativity and genius, and that's really the only word for it, that was associated with the Muslim conquests that were sweeping everything in front of them. The truth of the matter is that
to establish
for the first time, Arab peoples,
a nonpartisan 9/11 commission,
the borders of their control.
We'll talk and they marched later about the actual meaning of this decision politically and in terms of the future of the Republican Party. First up, we have Christiana Holcomb, who is a religious liberty attorney and a female athlete advocate, talking about the case of Chelsea Mitchell in Connecticut, who has been forced to compete against athletes who are biological males but are identify as transgendered. Christiana, where does this case stand right now? I know you're a legal counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom, which I strongly support. Where does the case stand at the moment?
Yes, well, thanks so much for having me. So a federal district judge in the state of Connecticut actually dismissed the case. He looked at the girls' losses, their lost championship titles, podium spots, medals and advancement opportunities, and essentially it said that they didn't matter, which is just wrong. You know, under Title IX, young female athletes should have equal athletic opportunities with males, and that is not happening in Connecticut because male athletes have come in and dominated girls' track and field. So just earlier this week, Alliance Defending Freedom attorneys actually appealed that decision up to the Second Circuit, and we look forward to presenting our arguments before the appellate court.
Okay, what's the core basis for your argument? Because I think that, and this actually has been shown by a Gallup poll, the same Gallup poll that shows that people are overwhelmingly for the ability of transgendered people to serve in the military. They are not overwhelmingly for the idea of transgendered people competing in female athletics. What's the constitutional basis for overturning the decision of local authorities and local governments in allowing biological males to compete with females?
Well, it's all based on federal law, Title IX. So Title IX was passed nearly 50 years ago to ensure that female athletes have equal athletic opportunities with males, and it's all based on, you know, the real physical differences that exist between males and females. Studies are showing that males, on average, have a 10 to 50% performance advantage over comparably fit and trained female athletes. And what that means is every year, thousands of high school men and boys run faster times than the world's most elite Olympic sprinters or athletes, female athletes. So if we want a future where girls can be, you know, state champions and earn those college scholarships and, you know, get recognition for all of their effort and hard work, then we have to protect the integrity of the female category.
Okay. What happens if the courts decide in your favor and then basically legislators or educational administrators say, there is no basis to allow males to compete against females in so-called female sports? But they say, okay, now men and women are just going to have to compete against one another. What would block that kind of decision?
Well, I mean, schools already offer boys' sports, girls' sports, and co-ed sports. So co-ed sports are not new, and there's nothing under Title IX that prohibits co-ed sports. But, you know, I do think there's a concern, especially with contact sports. you know, that girls are at greater risk of injury, and there's safety concerns, and the list goes on. But again, like, the, as you mentioned earlier, the American people have repeatedly rejected the idea that it's fair to allow males to come in and to compete in the girls' category. So this is, we've had women's sports as a separate category for decades in our country, to provide women with the opportunity to showcase their talents and to shine. And so that's what we look forward to restoring.
Is your ultimate goal to get this case into the Supreme Court? And what would be the kind of judgment you would request or expect?
Not necessarily, because I don't think this case needs to go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's common sense. Both science and common sense tell us that males have these physical advantages that make competition between males and female athletes, you know, fundamentally unfair to women and girls. So I don't think it needs to get all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. I do hope that state athletic associations, not just in Connecticut, but across the country as well, recognize the fundamental unfairness and, you know, protect the female sex category.
Are there any states so far where they have declared that biological males should not compete against women, and those biological males and their spokespeople for so-called trans rights were there pursuing their own lawsuits?
Yes. So across the country, we are seeing lawmakers stand up and say, you know, we've seen what's happened in Connecticut. Two biological males have taken 15 women's state championship titles from deserving female athletes. So lawmakers in other states are looking at that and saying, we don't want that to happen here. And they're passing these Save Women's Sports bills. I think more than 30 states so far this legislative cycle alone have introduced these types of protections for female athletes. Well, you know, true to form, the ACLU, once those laws are passed, the ACLU has begun challenging them. So there's two cases right now. One, Alliance Defending Freedom is defending Idaho's Save Women's Sports Law on behalf of two brave collegiate female athletes, Madison and Mary-Kate Marshall. And then just this week, the ACLU actually sued the state of West Virginia over its new Save Women's Sports Law. But again, the ACLU is swimming upstream here. Public opinion is firmly on the side of protecting fairness for women and girls. And we do look forward to vindicating that fair and level playing field.
I guess you could say that in one level, this is one of those arguments where you have one side that's saying, I have a constitutional right to compete against females, guaranteed by Title IX, and the other side saying there is no such thing as a constitutional right to win at sports, even if you're playing at sports. But I do hope there is victory for the Alliance Defending Freedom. You can read all about this case. We'll post material about it at michaelmedved.com. More on The Medved Show coming right up.
More of Michael Medved in a moment. Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
You
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Senate Republicans are blocking the creation of a January 6th Capitol Attack Commission. The bill fell 6 votes short of the 60 needed to advance. Senate Majority Leader from New York, Chuck Schumer, noting the commission would have had input from both sides of the aisle.
It is a bipartisan commission. It is down a middle commission. There was significant Republican input by the Republican leader in the House and the ranking member of the Republican ranking member of the relevant committee.
Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz calling the proposed commission politically motivated. 34 million drivers are expected to hit the road over this holiday weekend. They're going to be seeing some higher gas prices, with the national average for a gallon of regular gasoline over $3 a gallon. Although things have stabilized after a pipeline attack 3 weeks ago. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Michael Medved show, there was just some news made yesterday by former Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan. And he's somebody we haven't heard from that much. He was kicking off a lecture series yesterday at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in California, where I'm actually going to be part of that series of lectures coming up in a couple of weeks. You can read about it. Go to our website, michaelmedved.com, and check it out. I'm going to be speaking about not anything of directly relevant content to the current political battle or the argument that just took place in the Senate that was decided today that we'll get to. I'm going to be talking about my book, God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era. And the one thing about it that I think is particularly important is the argument that what we need in America and what we need to encourage in our school children, to encourage an attitude of patriotism and commitment and pride in our country, is we need gratitude more than gripes. We need gratitude more than guilt for what this country is. And right now, I'm grateful that at Medved History Store, they've put together a book bundle at a greatly reduced price. This is a personally inscribed, signed, hardcover book of God's Hand on America, which is normally $30 for it by itself, plus a full audio presentation of the book, every word read by me. And together, they are at a greatly reduced price. You can shop right now. Check it out. It's a great deal. I'm very proud of this book. And it could hardly be more relevant toward the arguments that are going on about what we teach our kids. God's Hand on America, the book bundle, audio book, and it comes together, the audio book, together either on a full download, or you get it with a player, a complete player that is sent along with it, and all for a combined low price with the autographed hardcover edition of the book. Check it out at MedvedHistoryStore.com. Go to MedvedHistoryStore.com. And speaking of history, there's an amazing story, and I wouldn't take it too seriously, except for the fact that it comes from a serious and decent organization, which is called the Public Religion Research Institute. And they have done this poll of several thousand Americans, and they find that QAnon might qualify as one of America's major religions. Really? Anybody think that's good news? I mean, it doesn't appear to be good news to me. It says that 15% of Americans say that they think that the levers of power in this country are controlled by a cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles, which is, of course, the core belief of QAnon. The same share, 15%, said it was true that, quote, American patriots may have to resort to violence to depose the pedophiles and to restore the country's rightful order. And 20% of respondents said they thought a biblical-scale storm soon would sweep away these evil elites and restore the rightful leaders. And Robbie Jones of the Public Religion Research Institute said, "These are words I never thought I would write into a poll question or have the need to, but here we are." The teams behind the poll determined that 14% of all Americans fall into a category of QAnon believers, composed of those who agreed with the statements in all three questions. Among Republicans only, just among Republicans, that percentage rose to 25%. Think about that for a moment. 25% believe that we're going to be seeing a biblical storm, which is one of the phrases they use in QAnon. The storm is coming to get rid of our current leadership and replace our rightful leaders, and would consider violence, because that's part of what they're saying. This is very alarming. The analysis went a level further. They created a category labeled QAnon doubters to include respondents who said they mostly disagreed with the outlandish statements, but didn't reject them outright. An additional 55% of Republicans fell into that more ambivalent category, which means that just one in three Republicans fully reject the premises of the QAnon conspiracy theory. For Democrats, 58% were flat-out QAnon rejectors. But wait a minute, that means that 42% of Democrats are not, that they think it might be true as well. What is wrong with us? This is not just a smear on the Republican Party. It's an alarming report about America in general. Jones, who is the commentator from the Public Religion Research Institute, said he was struck by the prevalence of QAnon's adherents. Overlaying the share of poll respondents who expressed belief in its core principles over the country's total population, quote, that's more than 30 million people, he said. Thinking about QAnon, he says, if it were a religion, which it kind of is, it would be as big as all white evangelical Protestants or all white mainline Protestants, he added. So it lines up there with a major religious group. Amazing. The PRRI-IFYC poll was conducted in March of this year, so a couple of months ago, with 5,600 respondents. Now, I would hope that between now and March, there are fewer people who embrace these ideas, but there are also lots of people who embrace incredibly insane, destructive, and revolting left-wing conspiratorial ideas. And they deserve some attention, too. For instance, the idea that the police should not only be driven off campus at Stanford, but cops need to be off the earth? Really? And a claim down in Oregon that educators need to embrace the anti-racist agenda, a term coined by the radical Ibram X. Kendi, and otherwise, if they don't embrace it, they need to be fired if you are not an anti-racist. Is this appropriate as an item here? And what about basically yearbooks being recalled and reprinted because one student had a controversial choice for his favorite book of all time? What possible choice could that be? And no, it was not somebody who chose the Bible. It was something very different. We will get to that. We'll also be speaking about the UFO revelations that are apparently due next week. Will there be revelations about January 6th, now that the Senate has voted no impartial commission? There almost surely will. And I'll tell you how and why coming up on the Michael Medved Show. We also have a bunch of films today, including Cruella, which one of the reviews, which I thought was quite amusing, says Cruella and Unusual, which is like cruel and unusual punishment. Is it really all that punishing? Or is it worth seeing? After all, what could be bad? It's a prequel to 101 Dalmatians. We'll get to that in time, coming up on the Medved Show. Many people own coins that have not performed as well as they had hoped they would, but markets change and you should get a new valuation. Maybe the coins have done better with current moves in precious metals, or maybe you want to do something else with that money. Let me tell you about my friend Nick Vrovich. He's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. For over 40 years, Nick has built a reputation for trust, honesty, and his goal is to earn your business for life. He won't push you to sell, but when you're ready, he offers the best prices, trades, and consignment deals in America. Right now, Nick and the AmFed team are offering their exclusive coin performance review totally free. Yes, totally free with a no-pressure guarantee from Nick. Go online at AmericanFederal.com or call 800-221-7694. That's AmericanFederal.com and 800-221-7694. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. This is $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. From Discovery Institute, a special free mini book offer for Medved listeners. What did Charles Darwin's ideas mean for society at large? Do we have free will? Are human beings merely meat in motion? Ideas do have consequences, and Darwin's ideas made scientific atheism credible. Get the free mini book, Darwin's Three Big Ideas, at discovery.org/Medved. That's discovery.org/Medved.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Medved show, you may have missed it. I largely missed it, but we are just coming up to the very end of a month that has been designated Abolition May. Abolition of what, you might think? When people use the term abolition or abolitionist, you're talking about slavery and abolishing slavery. Well, what a number of universities, including some of the most prestigious universities in the country, have been trying to do is to use Abolition May as a basis for demonstrating to demand abolition of campus police, which is insane. Campus cops are a feature of most universities in the country. And the reason they are is because in recent years, meaning in the last 20 years in particular, there's been a big upsurge of sexual assaults on campus. And I'm not talking about those cases where people say, okay, I went to a frat party and I got too drunk and somebody... That usually is not why you have campus police on campus. It's because people coming from off campus, robbing dorm rooms, which is not at all uncommon, selling drugs, or assaulting people. And of course, usually the people who get assaulted and sexual assaults are female. So, the idea of the idea of abolishing campus police and getting campus police off campus is simply nuts. Especially if you're talking about a university like Stanford, where the cost of a year at Stanford is about 80 grand if you count room and board. I mean, it's a lot of money to pay for going to school. But you expect that if you send a student there, you're going to get some kind of protection. You're going to be safe. But the Stanford University student activists were part of this Abolition May project. There's also a group right here at University of Washington. And the event at Stanford had multiple speakers, and projected on the wall behind them throughout the event were the phrases abolish the police, abolish Stanford, cops off campus, and cops off the earth. And some of the inspiring rhetoric that was offered on this wonderful occasion sounded like this. This is clip 8A.
We're talking about abolishing the police. We're talking about defunding the police. We literally had like 100 followers on our Instagram for I don't know how many years. And then, you know, now we got, you know what, over 6,000 or some. And it just goes to show, because we haven't done anything different. Still doing the same thing that we've been doing. You know, feeding people, taking care of the streets, banging on the cops that come into our neighborhood and with people. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've pulled up on a cop and checked his for doing illegal in my community. Doing illegal all over the Bay Area. Right now, our art collective, we serve people from Vallejo all the way down to Skid Row. From all the way up the coast, all the way down the coast, and all in between.
Hooray, yes. Okay, and then there's a comparison, drawing an analogy with some of the favorite villains among extreme leftists on a university like Stanford. Listen, this is B.
For law enforcement is imported from abroad. For years, U.S. police forces have been learning the wrong lessons through extensive training with Israel's military, as well as national police and intelligence forces. Herein lies the importation of police brutality. While both the U.S. and Israeli law enforcement engaged in brutal tactics long before the police exchange came about, Israeli practices that the American law enforcement officials hope to bring home are steeped in a five-decade-long history of military occupation and violent oppression of the region's most marginalized, the Palestinian people. Law enforcement officials from numerous states, including Florida, New Jersey, Maryland, Pennsylvania, California, Arizona, Connecticut, New York, Massachusetts, North Carolina, Washington State, and D.C. Capitol Police have traveled to Israel for training, while thousands of others have received training from Israeli officials in the U.S. The NYPD itself even opened its own branch in Israel and partially modeled its discriminatory Muslim surveillance initiative after Israel's surveillance program used on Palestinians in the West Bank. NYPD's demographics unit, which consisted of mosque crawlers serving as informants to spy on and map the daily life of Muslim communities, drew inspiration from Israeli practices in the occupied Palestinian territories.
Okay, this is insane. It is completely groundless. And isn't there just more than a little bit of a hint of anti-Semitism to saying that American police excesses, which lead these folks to want to abolish the cops and cops off campus? And again, now we're talking about campus police who are hired by Stanford University, really, and different universities around the country. That's what this whole rally and movement is about. And of course, it extends to general hostility to police. The idea that this is somehow inspired by Israel, well, I guess that's moving a step up. They used to say the police departments are all inspired by slave catchers who went after runaway slaves during the antebellum period in the South. And then there's a very inspiring and rousing chant by the crowd, which I think summarizes their position. Listen. Okay, what they're saying is F the police. If they're saying F and they're saying squash the police. And then there's this. An eighth grade teacher in Portland, Oregon, spoke to fellow educators on Zoom in a call all about being and becoming anti-racist. This is a radical term called by coined by one of the leaders of the critical race theory, Ibram Kendi, best-selling author. Listen, this is 3A.
Catherine Watkins, 8th grade humanities teacher at Cedar Park Middle School, and my pronouns are she, her, we, and us. I'm going to say something that's not nice and not sweet, but it's true. If you're not evolving into an anti-racist educator, you're making yourself obsolete in this field of profession. Our district is only getting browner and browner with our children, and so it's you know, obviously you can't change your melanin, all right? But you can change your mind so that you can actually function in a district that is full of BIPOC children.
Okay, and then this is what she has to say so you don't become obsolete and get fired. This is unbelievable stuff. This is 3B.
So if you're being resistant, I understand that. But you're going to have to eventually come to the light. Because if you're going to keep with those old views of colonialism, it's going to lead to being fired. Because you're going to be doing damage to our children, trauma. And so as we fire the teachers who sexually abuse our children, we will be firing the teachers who do racist things to our children and traumatize them. And while our district might not be completely on there, OEA is working on it, all right? NEA is working on it. And so it's just a matter of time. So it's like you either evolve or dissolve. You've got to start walking with us.
It's extraordinary. This is a teacher who really ought to be fired, who is telling her fellow educators, who apparently are affiliated with one of the major educational unions, she mentioned OEA and Oakland Education Association, or pardon me, the Oregon Education Association, and she mentioned NEA, the National Education Association. If they come down and basically suggest that people, if they disagree with Ibram Kendi, if they disagree with the program of, quote, becoming an anti-racist, which means, and her saying that, well, you may want to change your skin tone, you can't, but you can change your mind. In other words, the saying here is that if you don't agree with us, if you don't send the messages we approve, we want to cost you your livelihood. We want to prohibit you from teaching. This is exactly why this issue is so explosive, and I think overwhelmingly, the American people don't want one point of view. And if you don't share that point of view, you are now obsolete and you won't have the ability to teach. What a horror, and what an undermining assault on the very, very basis of free expression and freedom of thought, which forms the core and the foundation for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.